Hi again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. Tonight we're going to finish the outline of the book of Luke, and then we're going to do part 9 of another Pearl Harbor. Plus we have a couple of letters here and a couple of prayer requests. Right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Lord, we thank and praise your name for your spirit. You say, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. I ask, Lord, that everything that's said in this tape, in this message tonight, that it's directed from your throne. Use me, Lord, to bring the message of the very moment, this moment in time. We're living in the last days, and we know that by all the different signs and wonders that are occurring in the world, hidden to the eyes of the carnal, the people that are dead in their sins and trespasses, too hidden from those that are blinded. Their minds have been blinded by Satan, but Lord, we ask this evening that you'll open their spiritual eyes, their understanding, and that you'll open up their mind, their spiritual mind, to be able to receive how close we are to the very end of time, all the different checkers are in place. Lord, we see that Israel was restored to its homeland in 1947-48, in that area. And that was the end of the Gentile dispensation of time. We also see that the Jews are now preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. The real truth. We're like the John the Baptist, making straight the ways of the Lord, because the Gentiles have polluted the gospel so much and laced the false doctrine of Satan in with it, to where it's so hard for people to believe. And there's not any people that I know of, except the people that are just little clusters of people throughout the earth that are teaching the truth and are not at all into any kind of nonsense that you see on that is predominantly being preached throughout the world, especially here in the United States and, well, many places in the world. Lord, we see all the different plagues, which are a multitude of diseases, and so many of them that are incurable at this time. We see the bird flu that everybody says that it's coming. The scientists and the pharmaceutical agents say they don't have enough vaccine, or they're not sure that the vaccine will work. And it's supposed to, according to the media, it's supposed to wipe out one-third of the world population. And Lord, we see the tsunamis and the hurricanes, the earthquakes, and the twisters, the typhoons, and so many other things. Cancer, heart disease, leukemia, diabetes, different strains of hundreds of different diseases, formerly unknown to human beings. It's the end time, and your word tells of all these things. People need to study the Bible to see that it isn't just me saying these things, but these things are written in your word a long time ago. So, Lord, we thank that you for your spirit, and that we know that when we bind something on earth, that it's going to be bound in heaven. Lord, we bind the devil on earth by your word, so that... And we ask you, Lord, to honor your word by binding it in heaven. And bind everyone, Lord, that is coming against this work of yours. This is not my work. It's your work, Lord. This is the work of the Lord. And it's very obvious, because the signs that follow those that believe are following myself and other members of this church, your body, the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ. And there are many people that have fallen away and love to bring all kinds of accusations and lies, lying accusations. And they're seducing spirits that are attempting to pull people out of our church and other churches that are like-minded and are like-spirited as we are. But Lord, we ask that you bind all these things here on earth, and we bind them here, and bind them with us, and bind them in the kingdom of heaven, Father God, we ask, and let souls be saved this evening, today, whenever this tape is heard, and let the church be lifted up and strengthened with your power and might by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Cameroon, Africa.
Okay.
My dear Pastor Lamo, God bless you and bless you and bless you again. I am very happy for the tapes you sent. These tapes are bringing great changes in my life and equally increasing my preaching life. I am hoping to receive more and more. Please pray for me and for the Holy Spirit to use me and others around me for this end-time message. Extend my greetings to all the saints over there. Yours in Christ, Adrian from Cameroon, Africa.
And see, not only are these, we're shipping these tapes out, but the literature, and also we're on radio worldwide and shortwave, one shortwave radio station in Africa has a radius large enough to cover 1.5 billion people. And we have three stations over there, plus we're hitting Africa and India and Philippines, all these different countries with the gospel by radio as well. And we send the tapes out. If you want to, you can tape them off the air. And if you'll let us know what part of the world you're living in, we'll let you know what station it is that booms into your area. And so you can contact us by notifying us at
alamoministries.com,
alamoministries.com, or you could write us at
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
And that would be Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. And repeat the address again.
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
All right, so and then we'll let you know. And if you need gospel literature or tapes, I've done thousands of tapes, and they're all scriptural 100%, and they're, and you'll feel the Spirit. You'll feel the Spirit moving on you when you hear them, because I always just turn myself over completely to the Lord when I'm bringing broadcasts. I don't know what the Lord is going to say through me at the time that we start the broadcast. And it oftentimes, almost all the times, it surprises me. All right, so now where's the next letter from?
From Rumphi, Malawi, Africa.
And if I get surprised, maybe you'll be surprised too. Amen. Okay, then what? Go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for the materials you are sending me. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ bless you abundantly through all his riches. My wife, Grace, and I are busy distributing your newsletters in schools, streets, and in the marketplace.
Praise
many,
the Lord.
Amen. Many people repented from their sins through your newsletters. I received a Holy Bible, 6 Messiah books, and 2 cartons of world newsletters. The literature which I would like to distribute are The Servant of the Lord, Being Led by the Spirit, Broken to Pieces, and also some Bibles for the repented people. Pastor, please consider me to be an active servant in your ministry. I need a t-shirt and sweatshirt in black color, size medium. Many blessings from God be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry. Glory to Jesus. Obedience from Rumphi, Malawi, Africa.
And God bless you and build his wall of fire around and about you greatly in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now you have a couple of prayer requests here?
Yes.
All right, let's read them, please.
The first one's from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Please send Pastor Lamas the Messiah book and literature. I would like 5 copies extra of the Earthquake updated 2005 copy. I don't know of a better pastor and church to ask to pray for me. I have a number of things wrong with me. My back and knees are a painful problem with me. God bless one and all. Mr. Delbert from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
All right, now, one time I had some pain. This goes back about 37 years ago, maybe 38 by now. And I was going to get in my car and go down the hill at Zuma Beach. That's right next to Malibu in California, Los Angeles, and to get myself some aspirin. And as I was just walking towards the door with the keys in my hand, the Lord spoke to me and said, "If the aspirins are stronger than me, then go to work for the aspirins company." And so ever since I started laughing, I thought that was the funniest joke I had ever heard in my life. God has really got a fantastic sense of humor. Like, in other words, if aspirins are stronger than God, right? Or any painkiller, God's holding up the whole universe with his spirit. And so I started laughing. I said, "I'm sorry, Lord." And I just started, touch my head, I can make it. And it went away. And everyone that I've ever prayed for after that gets healed from headache and all kinds of pains. And I was in prison for the gospel, and there was a man that had his shoulder shot off. He said that the police, he's a 21-year-old black man, really tall and big guy, said that the police shot his deltoid off his shoulder with a shotgun. Because I asked him, "What's the matter with you?" Because he was moaning all night long. He and I were what they call cellies. And he said, "The police shot my shoulder off." And he says, "It hurts." And I says, "Well," I told him what I just told you about what the Lord told me regarding aspirins and himself. And I said, "If you want me to, I'll pray for you, and the Lord will immediately heal you and take the pain away. Do you want me to do that?" And he says, "Yeah, go ahead." So I did. I said, "Father God, in the name of Jesus, and I'm praying right now for this person that has pain in their back. Lord, you said, by my stripes, you were healed." And that goes for everybody. Now, this man wasn't even saved. "Father, touch this brother's back and touch everyone. I know that there are many people that have pain in their bodies, in their head, and I know that there isn't anybody, Father, that I've ever prayed for before that you didn't heal, except my wife." And then after I asked you, "Why are you not healing her?" you said, "Because she's unthankful." And so we started going over the different things that she should be thankful for. And when I got her to start praising and thanking you, Lord, then the migraine headache went away. And so it never has come back since. And so all of you people out in Radio Land, as well as this person with the bad back, Lord, I want you to touch them, so that they know without a doubt that I am a man of the Lord. They don't have to come in the healing line, and we're not going to make a 55 million ring circus out of this. You're the one that is the Savior and the healer. And Father, you have provided. Well, this isn't anything that should be, I don't believe it should be made a spectacle. But I know, Lord, that you hear my prayers, and I hear you. You've healed this person by your stripes. They were already healed, all the people out in Radio Land. And if they agree with me, we are more than two or more people agree on anything, that you are the truth. And when you say, "By we were healed," that means that you people are healed. Now, all you have to do is just receive your healing by faith, that the Lord said you're healed. By faith, you're saved, and by faith you're healed. So now every one of you, and receive your healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now just thank and praise the Lord for it. Pain, let the pain be removed right now, Father, from all of them. Headaches, backaches, shoulder aches, foot aches, every kind of aches, heart aches. Take them away, Father God. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen. All right?
Amen.
All right, so I'm sure a lot of you feel a lot better out there now. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's finish this.
The next letter?
Yes.
Is from Rita from Jonesboro, Georgia. It says, please pray for Kimberly, Joyce, Barbie, Larry, Laura, Tony, Van, Keith, Carl, Joseph, David, and Christine to be saved.
Okay, well, we can pray that somebody will come to them and witness them. We're saved by belief in the Word of God, so that means somebody has to preach to them. It pleases the Lord that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel, not praying for them. Amen?
Amen.
But pray yourself up in the Spirit and witness to them. Now, if you're not good at witnessing, or if you're young in the Lord, give them some of my gospel literature, because what it does is condenses the Bible. Or tell us where they are, and I'll write a letter to them. If you tell me what their problem is, if you'll tell me something about them, and I have a pretty good track record of winning souls for the Lord, for the glory of God, not me, that's for sure, because I, unless He anoints me, I am the biggest nothing you ever saw in your life. Okay, so that's what we need, is to just have the Lord lead, guide, and direct us, and these souls will definitely be saved. Amen?
Amen.
It all depends on their hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you could even ask for tapes for these people, or literature, and give it to them. And they'll be saved, I believe. It's for sure they'll get a lot closer to the Lord. Is that it now?
No. I have a tumor lipoma on my right shoulder, and I need healing. I love your website, and you are a true man of God.
Well, it's the same thing with headaches, body aches, tumors, leukemia. We prayed for people with leukemia. They were healed. We prayed for people with cancer. They were healed. And you can be healed right now. Why? Because you already were healed. But you have to believe that, just the same way as this person that I prayed for that has this pain in their back. Receive it. The Lord said it. Now, the doctors say there's a tumor. Your body says there's a tumor. But the Lord says, by His stripes, you were healed. So you either have to believe the tumor, your body, the doctors, or the Lord. Now, the tumor may be there, but it's gone, according to the Lord, if you believe and you agree with Him. He's the truth. He can't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. And He says, I healed you 2,000 years ago. So it's provided for you. All you have to do now is receive it. So receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Now thank the Lord and praise Him. And take it by faith. And don't let any thought from Satan come into your head that you're not healed. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, or for that matter a woman, so are you. If you want to believe that you've got this tumor and it's going to stay there, and you let Satan enter into you and tell you that you're not healed. I heard a preacher on the air saying that this person was marvelously healed from some dreaded disease. Do you remember what it was?
He was paralyzed.
He was paralyzed. All right, so he goes into the service, and he got a hold of the Lord, and the Lord gave him that faith to receive that he was healed. He already was healed. It's a past thing. And the man got up and started walking, and he walked all the way home, and some man from the church came in and started telling him, now listen, you know, that stuff doesn't happen anymore. It's just a bunch of baloney. And By the time the guy got done with him, ten minutes, the man was paralyzed again, because the Bible says that Satan cometh to destroy. The good word is sown into your heart, and then Satan comes and snatches that word of faith right out of your heart. And so that is true, and that the Lord died on the cross for your sins, and they're all washed away now, and that he rose from the dead, and he enters into your heart with the Father by the Spirit. And the same thing, that the Lord really did pay the price for your healing by taking the stripes, the beating, the horrible beating. And for you to deny the healing that the Lord has provided for you is sin. You are healed. The Lord said so. But you must take what the Lord has provided for you. There's food in your pantry and in your refrigerator, and you have faith that it's there, and if you want it, you still have to go get it. Amen?
Amen.
And you have faith that when you light the stove or the turn on the water on your faucet, that it's going to work, and that you turn on the lights, unless you're in one of these areas that the Lord just hit a flag, it's going to turn on. But a lot of people have more faith in those sort of things than they do in the word of the Lord. And that's what the Lord says, is Satan cometh immediately. He's like the fowls of the air, and he comes and snatches the good word of faith out of your soul, so that you're not able to receive the things that the Lord has provided for you many years ago. The Lord has provided salvation and healing. It's already yours. But I know it's hard to believe if you don't read the word enough. But faith comes by reading, hearing, and hearing by the word. So you can read the word and hear. He that has an ear, a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And you are the church, a member of the church, and a church in yourself. The Lord resides in you. And so all you have to do is believe the gospel and don't allow Satan to snatch the word of faith out of you. It doesn't make any difference how many years ago that these words were. The word of God is God, and he said you're healed. And now receive it in the name of Jesus. You don't have to let the fowls of the air, these evil seducing spirits, take that word out of you. You're saved, and you're healed, and you can be prosperous. You don't have to have an empty pantry. You don't have to have an empty cupboard or refrigerator. It can be stuffed full of food. But you must believe the word of God, and if you don't, that's the only thing that's preventing you from having salvation, healing, and prosperity, and everything that God has provided. It goes into many things. Your children will be well. It's well. So I could just go on forever, but we've got to get started now with the last half of the outline of Luke, because I want to get started on that pretty soon, with chapter 1 and so on. So let's go ahead and get that over. Now receive your healing, you people out there. Of course, receive salvation, and receive your healing in the name of Jesus, because he said it, and he cannot lie. You're healed. Now take it. And don't let the fowls of the air or any weak, beggarly spirit enter into you to take those words out of your soul, out of your heart, out of your spirit, out of your mind. Take it and hold it. All right? Then what? Okay, let's go with the outline, the last half of the outline of Luke.
Jesus loves the outcasts. Jesus paid special attention to the poor, the despised, the hurt, and the sinful.
Right, and he wants, that's why you're hurting. If you're hurting, then don't hurt. Here, even this unsaved man in prison was immediately touched by the Lord, and he yelled out, "How'd you do that?" And I says, "What?" He says, "I don't have any pain anymore." I said, "That wasn't me, friend." I said, "I prayed to the Lord for you to be healed and that God would show you that I am of the Lord, because I want all you people in this to wicked dudes. And I want you to know that I'm of the Lord so that you'll respect me, and that when you are, when you're unsaved this way, that you'll come and I'll tell you the plan of salvation and you'll be saved. And I also want you to know that if you need healing, if you're hurting, that you can be healed. And if your wife and children, if you have them, or any of your loved ones out in the world need help, we will help them, because the Lord tells us to. When I call the house or the office, I will, if your family needs food or clothing or toys for Christmas or anything like that, we'll send it to them. All right? So I want you to respect that. Because in the natural, I wouldn't do that for anybody. But because that the Lord tells me to do that, he cares for the poor and the hurting people and all that, and he wants us to be like him. He lives in us, and therefore he wants us to distribute the things when he tells us to do that. A lot of you people are minorities in here, and you've been given a bum rap, and you've lived a very different kind of life than others, and you were raised around narcotics and drugs and crime and everything, and that's probably all you know. But I want you to know the thing greater in this world, in this universe, than the way you were raised. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's waiting there. He's not the God of just the Jews. He's the God of the blacks, the browns, the beiges, the reds, the yellows, the green, which they, I'm Jew, and I'm, you know, we have, you know, so he's the God of everyone, and him that I want, I believe he'll get saved. Do you want to be saved now that you're healed? Yes. So I taught him right through the sinner's prayer. And he never was laughing and joking about the crimes that he did after that. We were in small quarters over right next to the SHU, S-H-U, that special housing unit in Memphis. It was right next to it. And a few people in Memphis that are officers in the prison, you'll know that I've been there. And I left my mark there. I won a lot of Muslims to the Lord in that prison. And so we were in very tight quarters, and you could hear them all laughing and joking about the different things, escapades they had with the police and all this, and I'd be listening to it, and they'd have this rap music going on the television, and you just couldn't get away from it. But I'd go up on the second tier there, and they would come into my cell, and I would witness and testify to them up there. And they'd get saved. Even people from one of the most horrible gangs in the world. Chicago. And gangs from Los Angeles, and the Bones Gang, and the Cluds, the Nazis, the Skinheads, the Mexican Mafia, and you name it. I witnessed to all the gangs in prison. Then also in Florence, Colorado, and then in Texarkana, Arkansas. And over in Fort Worth, Texas. They had me going around and around. And over in Denver, near Denver. What was the name of that place?
Littleton.
Littleton, yeah. It's near Denver. Well, yeah, I left the mark of the Lord everywhere. And there's still people writing us all the time from prisons, and people that were in prison are contacting us all the time. All right, so let's continue on here. So the Lord cares about the little people. And, you know, because, I was a little person myself. And the God, David, the psalmist David was a little person, and God took him from out of being a little shepherd boy and made him the king over Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we all become kings and priests when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It says so in the Bible. Then what?
Jesus rejected no one. He ignored no one. No one today is beyond the scope of his love or beyond his ability to save and to heal.
Right. He pays attention to your littlest prayer. And what could be easier than praying to the Lord? Lord, save my soul. Wash away all my sins in your blood. Enter my heart, Lord Jesus. That's so easy, isn't it? It isn't hard. Salvation is easy. He said that his way is easy and light. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden with every kind of thing in this world, and I'll give you Sabbath. In other words, I'll give you rest for your soul. He wants you to rest from the kind of life you're living and trust him that he will bless you abundantly beyond anything that you could ever imagine. He says that he's going to give you salvation and healing, and he's going to help you. And he'll help you grow and multiply and flourish. He does it with everybody that really trusts him. So trust him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then what?
He cares for all of us, no matter what we have done in the past.
Right, if we just repent and lay down the old life and be resurrected unto the new. Then what?
He wants us to repent of that, however. Only this kind of deep love can satisfy our deepest needs and mobilize us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. When our life is most unmanageable, we often feel that no one can understand or care about us. Luke shows us that God understands and cares. We can safely turn our lives over to him. The power of the resurrection. Paul wrote to the Philippians and told them that he longed to, quote, against the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead, unquote, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Like the other gospel writers, Luke showed in detail the events surrounding the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There is no greater example of God's work than that which can bring the dead back to life again. God specializes in demonstrating his power, which is the most incredible power.
So if he can raise you from your dead life, and then after you die, your body dies, then raise you from the dead, just think of how easy it is for him to just touch you with his spirit and heal you. Amen?
Amen.
A woman that had an issue of blood for many years just touched the hem of his garment, and she was immediately healed. Immediately. It's just a matter of faith. Because everything that we receive from the Lord is by faith. That's the money that gets us what God has, is just faith. That's all. You come without money. Just come with faith. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need any money at all. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. He loves you. And he wants you. And he wants you to stay with him. And so, don't sin after you're saved. He gives you the power to not sin. Okay, keep going.
In growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ, we experience his power at work within us and outwardly as well, bringing our soul and body back to life and into the work of God. With God, nothing is too difficult. God's passion for growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. God wants us to experience the fullness of Christ even more than we do, because he loves and cares about us. Jesus showed this by revealing his intense interest in people and relationships. He cared for his followers and friends. He was interested in all types of people, men, women, and children.
Right. When people in the church show an interest in one another, that makes it home. That makes it the body of Christ. That makes you know that you're welcome and that you have friends in the body. Nobody wants to be around your enemies, but you want to be around somebody that is your friend and somebody that cares about you and somebody that's going to help you if you feel like you're getting a little weak. One night in the service, being part of the fullness of the stature of Christ means that you go to church where all the brothers are. The fullness of the stature of Christ is the whole church, the whole body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, not a building. And so this person the Lord told me, there's somebody in here that's deciding to leave. And I just said, I just say what the Lord tells me, and he's told me to say it here on this. I said, the Lord is telling me that one of you out in the congregation here is contemplating leaving. And I told him, did you know that you can't be a member of the body of Christ if you leave? No person can serve God by themselves. No person can be a part of the fullness of the stature of Christ out there. You see, the Lord, when he took his whole church, the whole nation of Israel, into the Holy Land, he didn't send in 10 one day and 50 the next and 100 the next day, and then whenever the others just kind of rambled across the Jordan. They all went in as one body of people. And so they had to be in one body of people in order to be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven as well, into the Holy Land, and that's symbolic of the kingdom of God. So if we want to make it in to the kingdom of heaven, we have to be, we have to receive the fullness of the stature of Christ. We have to become one with the church. The church life is a very important life. Now, there are many churches that are just totally unscriptural, and you don't want to be in that body of people because they're the ones that are all going to make it into the other place. But what you want to do is to get yourself into a real spirit-filled church that will lead you in. And I says, now who out there in that congregation is the one that's contemplating to leave? And the black man held his hand up and waved. And I says, how could you do that? I says, don't you realize how foolish that is? And I said a lot more, but at the end of the service, many people came up and told me that he had been talking to them about leaving and that he was just ready to go out the door. But I talked to him quite a bit afterwards, a few more minutes, and his daughter was going to a university, and so she comes to the church now all the time. And I said, if you would have left, she would have never been saved and never been coming into the church all the time. He's going to hear this tape. But when you make a stand for the Lord, your loved ones will get saved as well. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't attempt to try to get cute with the Word of God. You can't do that. The Lord has the pattern laid out. You must be a partaker of the fullness of the stature of Christ, and therefore the fullness happens to be all the members, the corporate members of the body of Christ together. Don't wander off. Don't be that lost sheep that strays out there, because you people know too much gospel now listening to these tapes. And, you know, the Bible says that when people disobey what the Lord says, they become witches, and they're unexcusable, and therefore there's no more repentance for them. So don't, you know, God loves you, and he wants you to do what he says. He says, you are my friends if you do everything I say. Okay, and that's quite prominent in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's continue.
His concern transcended all barriers and extended to all of the people that he had met.
Right. His concern is so great that he has filled the Bible full of instructions of how to get into heaven, devil, and he'll flee from you. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
He longed to see people made whole, well, and growing in their knowledge of God. As we come to know him and we experience his passion for our wholeness and our ability to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived in complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was present at the birth of Jesus, at his baptism, in his ministry, and in his resurrection.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is conceived in us by the Holy Spirit. He entered into Mary, and the only difference is that he became flesh in her and became a child, an actual human child. But with us, he enters into us, into our humanity, and therefore we are able to be the continuation of his incarnation here on earth.
The Holy Spirit was sent by the Father to confirm Jesus' authority. Today the Holy Spirit is given to empower us to live as God, the Lord Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and power within us, enabling us in the growth to the full.
Praise the Lord. All right, now let's go. That was the end of the introduction to the book of Luke, New Testament, and now part 9, as far as we can go with it, of Another Pearl Harbor. This is a piece of literature that God gave me a few years ago, and we're doing these on tape now because so many people are blind and people that have a hard time reading and don't have enough time to read. You can put it in your tape deck or your CD player and listen to it as you're in a traffic jam or someplace or just driving down the freeway, whatever. All right, let's go.
My God tells me that all of these evil things are happening because of that great red dragon, the devil, along with his cult, his government, and the media. It takes all four of them to do the job. For Christians, it takes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and ourselves to do God's work. Again, we need to boldly approach the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ with our petitions for God to put an end to the things that Satan is doing through unsaved people, those who say they are Christians but are in reality Catholics who are busy doing their evil in this world today.
Yeah, now I'm not saying that all Catholics are evil, because some of the nicest people I've ever met are Catholics. But we're just talking about Roman Catholics that are dyed in the wool, that refuse to read the Word of God, refuse to believe God. But I would say at least two-thirds of our congregation are former Catholics. And we've won, according to the Catholic Church or cult, they say that I have won, I've split their church in half, I've won half of them to the Lord, which means that's in their own newspaper, and that's a half a billion souls. And that was, they mentioned that in their paper over 15 years ago, 20 years ago now. Somewhere in there, between 15 and 20 years ago. And so I would say that we've won a lot of souls. That's over 500 million that got chalked up according to their own stats. Okay, and so let's go. Let's read.
The devil is a liar and a deceiver, as are his people from Rome and many of the people who are involved in the administrations of every nation.
Can you imagine why they're so furious with me and they make up so many false accusations? I'm telling the truth about what the Bible says about them. I'm not making this up. But there's so many people that are going to know the Lord that are in the Catholic cult, and all they got to do is come out and receive Jesus, because no religion can save your soul. Religion didn't die on the cross and shed its blood for you. Only Christ did. And so religion, the Bible says, is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. Religion is like a plastic mannequin, and the Lord is like a real person. And that real person will enter into your soul, into your heart, your spirit, and give you eternal life. Your spirit is just temporal, but the Holy Spirit is permanent. It's forever. It's everlasting. It's eternal. And what we need is the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father by the Holy Spirit, to go pierce right through our body, go into our spirit, our soul, and mingle himself in our soul with his everlasting life into our temporal life. And what that does is makes our temporal life, eternal. And then if we continue, then we have the power to keep the commandments. And if we do, we have life eternal. But we must continue on to the end. And that's just as simple as can be to me. But you kind of have to get used to it. You have to keep reading the Word. And it won't come all at once. It must come into you line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. you gain more and more every day, and you can't realize, you know, listen to these tapes, how much of this, these messages are buried into your actual spirit. But you know, and then when people start talking to you about certain things and you know them, it'll just come out like a well of water, a spiritual well of water, and you'll be able to say things that you didn't even know you knew. That's the way it works. It's like planting a seed in the ground and covering up with dirt and watering it, put a little fertilizer on there. You don't know, but there's a combination, a connection between the seed and the soil and the water and the fertilizer, and God does the rest. Amen? It's the same thing when the Spirit, the Word of God, the seed, enters into your body. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, the words in this Bible are spirit and they are life. And so when you're reading the Bible, that spirit, that life of God is entering into you, and it makes you strong, spiritually strong, and gives you eternal life. And it stays in there. But you have to keep renewing it, because the way of life, reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. That's how you stay saved, is to just keep reading, listening, hearing, and doing what the Lord says. Okay, then what?
Pray for those in darkness. Most of my congregation used to be Catholic. I love every Catholic person's soul, and I'm instructing people to pray for them, to pray to God for them to stop their lying and deceiving, to pray for them to repent, and to pray for them to become members of Christ's body.
When I say they're lying and deceiving, I'm talking primarily about the people in the Vatican. The laity and just the churchgoers, many of them, they don't lie. They're not liars. But they need to be saved. Even if they have never really committed any sin, with the exception of not having the done any good thing for the Lord. Reading the Bible, lighting candles and all this is like an abomination. Lighting candles is an abomination to the Lord. But reading the Bible is fine. But we must be born again. And a person that doesn't believe that, you could be perfect as can be, never committing what we know as sin. But if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, if Christ hasn't entered you with the Father by the Spirit, you still are not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because the only way we can get in there is to have Christ in us with the Father by the Spirit. And then you have to come out of there, because there's so many things in the Bible that the Bible tells us that we must do. And one of them is to come out of that, all religions, and get to work in letting the Lord live out his life in and through you. And he wants to win souls through you. Okay, then what?
Jesus said, quote, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance."
Right. How do you think I do these messages? I pray before God, you let everything that you want said on this tape come barreling right through me. Just pour it on through me. And that's the Holy Spirit. All right? That's the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit. The inward anointing is our salvation. The outward anointing is for the ministry. It's for us to minister. Okay? And it comes down from time to time when we pray for it, whenever we're going to witness to somebody. You don't have to say it out loud when the Lord puts somebody before you. But I always say, okay, Lord, whatever is going to happen, let it be from you. You know, I just say it under my breath. And then I feel the anointing, and here it goes. And the door opens. If it does, I'm right there, just like flies on honey. Okay? Then what else?
"Whatsoever I have said unto you," unquote, John chapter 14, verse 26. Quote, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness," bracket, "he will teach the world of what the right thing is for everyone to do," in bracket, "and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness," the right thing, "because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world, the devil, is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, which means all righteousness. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Unquote. John chapter 16, verse 8 through 14. Now if the leaders of the world were members of Christ's body with Jesus, the Comforter, living in them, they wouldn't have to go to the Pope for advice or take polls among the general public to see if the unsaved people know what to do. One thing we know is that Jesus, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, told us in the New Testament, New Covenant, that we are not to murder anyone. Now the Pope, President Bush, and everyone else should take heed to not ignore the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who is urging us all to obey the truth, to be righteous, to do that which is right according to God's holy, infallible word. Quote, "Thou shalt not murder," unquote, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, original Hebrew. All, quote, "murderers," bracket, popes, presidents, kings, queens, and anyone else who murders, even under orders, and bracket, "shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," unquote, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. God is not going to listen to any excuse like, "I had to do it. I had to murder your people. They commanded me to murder your people." God never puts anyone in power to disobey him. People who do such things were not put into power by God, but by deceived voters. It is most important for us to hear from God. If we don't, we all shall fall into the ditch. Blind leaders lead their blind followers into the ditch, into hell, and into the lake of fire. Blind leaders cannot lead the blind into the light. Only those who have the light can lead the blind into the light. No unsaved man knows what to do. Even those of us who are saved don't know what to pray.
Right, see, the light is the Word of God. So you have to be led into the Word of God, the light. Jesus is the light of the world, and the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. So let the Word of God emanate from you by the Spirit so that the whole world can see that you are of the Lord. Don't hold back the things that the Lord has taught you. Don't hold back the light, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but let it shine on a high hill. That's why God is so angry at so many of the people that call themselves Christians, is because they feel that it's not right to preach the whole Word of God, the wrath of God and the hatred of God. "Jacob have I loved," God said, "but Esau have I hated." Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord talks about hate and judgment and wrath, wrath and judgment. And he tells about how he terrorizes people. So a lot of people just don't know that because the preachers are afraid to preach these things because they think God will be angry with them. But he tells you to preach the Word, the whole Word. And that happens to be part of the whole Word. And so many people, they'll persecute, they'll actually kill you, murder certain people, because of the way they preach, that they teach the Word of God, the whole Word of God. I think they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a favor because they don't know the Word. And that's why it's very, very much up to the Christians to teach the Word to everybody and not be ashamed of the Word of God, because if we are, the Lord is going to be ashamed of us before His Father and the holy angels. So don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Tell it like it is. All right, and you know, I'm not afraid to be martyred or for the gospel, because my goal is to get there to the kingdom of heaven. That's all I'm waiting for. That's what I'm working for in the spirit right now, is to be able to be qualified to enter the kingdom of heaven. So if somebody gets me there earlier, I say thank you. You've made my day. All right. All right, then let's keep going. We've only got two more minutes to go.
We must ask God what we ought to pray. Quote, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Romans chapter 8, verse 26.
Right? The Spirit just comes down and tells you what to pray and what to say. The Bible says that the Father, if you're in a courtroom, will tell you what to say. I was astounded at the things that the Lord had me say in the courtroom, because they've said some pretty wild accusations, and the Lord gave me something that caused everybody to just shut their mouths. Okay, what else?
If we seek God, God will hear us and answer us and show us great and mighty things that we have not seen before. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. God will teach us what to do and teach us what to say. One of the many things from the Bible that we already know is that God doesn't want us to war with bombs, bullets, or any other carnal weapons. This is positively the truth. Our soldiers have been told by false prophets that they are overseas fighting for God and for our country. They obviously don't have a clue as to what God's word, the Bible, says.
They've been lied to. They're deceived. The whole world is deceived. Amen?
Amen.
And what?
The murder of our fellow man is absolutely forbidden. God will fight for his people and country if we but ask. Vengeance is the Lord's. It does not belong to us, to the Pope, or to the leaders of nations. His word says, quote, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Unquote, James chapter 4, verse 1. Satan and...
All we have to do is just pray to the Lord, and that'll end all wars, okay? It won't end the wars with the heathen, but we will be at peace on earth, a perfect peace and a sound mind. I see our time is up. And so tomorrow we're going to be doing possibly chapter 1 of Luke, New Testament, and part 10 of another Pearl Harbor. Until then, continue in the Lord one day at a time. That's all you need to do is just one day at a time, because we never know that we're going to live another day or 2 days. So just take it one day at a time. That way it won't really seem like a long stretch, because you don't know that you're going to live another hour any more than I do. So until tomorrow, make sure you tune in, because it's going to be really something else. God always gives me something great in these messages. So until then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.